Please be seated. Well, we're here today recognizing the Feast of St. Michael, our namesake. And reading some of the scriptures today, I thought of another scripture that really spoke to me about Michael. It's from the book of Revelation, and I wanted to share it with you. Chapter 12. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to earth, and his angels with him. Our Saint Michael. So we've covered St. Michael. I'd like to go back now to the Gospel of Matthew that we heard today, and perhaps not only look at today's Matthew version that we had, but some other Gospels of the same passage. Some of it will be a little bit before and after. In Matthew today, I'm going to be focusing on just the cleansing of the temple portion of the Gospel. Now in Matthew it said, Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and those of the benches selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The gospel shows us that Jesus was not at all happy with what's going on. In Mark's gospel, it says, on reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables and the money changers and the benches of those selling doves and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. Jesus is really angry, and he's trying to cleanse that temple of those who are taking advantage of others and defiling a place of worship. In Luke, same passage, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling, saying to them, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a robber's den. Luke is probably one of the most gentle gospel writers. He's so soft and easy, not like the next gospel, which is John. We have John, who I think is really the tough guy. He's a teacher full of discipline. John wrote, and he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers seated at their tables. And he made a scourge of cords and drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out their coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And those who were selling the doves, he said, take these things away. Stop making my father's house a place of business. This really shows the anger of Jesus and what was going on. I might add that unlike Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John's gospel of this story is right in the beginning of the gospel, right after he left the Feast of Cana. So were there two cleansings of the temple. We were talking battle here with St. Michael, and now with Jesus has his own little battle going on with those who are desecrating the temple, turning a house of prayer into a mini strip mall for banking, shopping, a swap meet, and animal storage. Getting back to Mark, it said, on reaching Jerusalem. That is important because of what I will call part of the before and after. If we go back to the beginning of this chapter, the before, in Matthew's gospel, here's what it started with in chapter 21. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you. At once you will find a donkey tied there with a colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. Does that sound familiar? I see some nodding heads. Well, that is the passage that we hear on Palm Sunday when Jesus comes back to Jerusalem. So in this chapter, Jesus is coming back into Jerusalem, and now you can really understand why he's so upset with what he's finding in Jerusalem. It's the beginning of the passion for him and all that's going to happen. Now, if we go back into the second part of the gospel for today, it said the blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temples, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. Or another verse, verse 21, a few verses further, "Whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will receive." I think we can now move from the angry Jesus to the compassionate, loving Jesus, the Jesus that I love to share and enjoy. And in the last verse, it talks about the lame and the blind coming to the temple and getting healed. It was their faith that brought them to the temple. It was their faith that got them healed. Again, this brings to the attention in the forefront the whole idea of bringing faith. Faith is an extension of our relationship with God. Isn't it great to see examples of faith? We don't need to go into the Bible just to find the acts of faith and result in good deeds. Look around you every day, and I think you will see where God and the Holy Spirit are at work. And if you have a true relationship with God, your faith will be strong and carry you through anything. Your faith will open your eyes. I'd like to give you a couple examples of how God has touched my life recently. I had been preparing a sermon that's normally assigned for this Sunday, which is Proper 21, but since we had to use St. Michael, the gospel changed. But I had started working without thinking about that, and I was absorbing the words and the writing and doing a little bit of this and that, and there was a story that I want to share about this, because I sort of had a God moment. The other Luke that I was reading, the gospel was about a rich man and Lazarus. As the story goes, a rich man dressed in fine purple clothing has died, and he's suffering greatly in hell. Looking up at heaven, he sees Lazarus in the arms of Abraham. Now, when Lazarus was alive, he was a beggar, and he was covered with sores, and he was trying to find food. This rich man was asking Abraham to please send down Lazarus to dip his finger in water and to touch the tongue of the rich man to relieve his torment. Part of my sermon I was going to share is this. He was dressed in purple and fine linen, leading us to understand him to probably have come from a wealthy family and maybe even royalty. And Lazarus was lying at his gate, perhaps like a gated community today. Was he, the rich man, a bad person? I think not. He was not depicted as evil in the scripture. He did not torment Lazarus. He did not refuse food for Lazarus. He did not even use his authority to remove the poor and the ill that are outside his gates. No, he was not disdainful of Lazarus. He just didn't notice him. He just didn't see him. I thought so much about how often we do not notice others in our own daily life. Some mornings I take Jefferson to go downtown to get on the Chrysler Freeway, and there on the service drive on the corner of Lafayette and the service drive is a homeless man. He's there every morning. He's sitting on his crate. He's just sitting there. He's got his sign that says, "Please help me. God bless you." Well, I can tell you I now know his name. His name is Gordon. He loves it if I hand off a cup of coffee, or I've seen other people hand off water or a few dollars or a muffin. Gordon is his name. I like to share. And now I can see him, and I can see his eyes and not just his clothes or his feet. I like to share things I see in emails, the internet, or other social media that I think are interesting or thought-provoking. I'll share a story that I read about a week and a half ago, but has now since gone viral on both Facebook and some other media. Jeremiah Stepik transformed himself into a homeless person and went to a 10,000-person church. He walked around the church for 30 minutes while it was filling with people for the service. Only three people out of the 7 to 10,000 there said hello to him. He asked people for change to buy food. No one in the church gave him change. He went into the sanctuary to sit down in the front of the church and was asked by the ushers if he would please move to the back. He greeted people to be greeted back with stares and dirty looks, with people looking down on him and judging him. He sat in the back of the church and just listened as the announcements were made and such. When all that was done, the elders went up excited to introduce the new pastor to the church and the congregation. They said, "We would like to introduce to you Pastor Jeremiah Stepek." The congregation looked around clapping in joy and in anticipation. The homeless man sitting in the back stood up and started walking down the aisle. The clapping stopped and all eyes were on him. He walked up to the altar and took the microphone from the elders who were in on this, and he paused for a moment and then he recited, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or that you needed clothes and we clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" After he recited this, he looked toward the congregation and told them all that he had experienced that morning. Many began to cry. Many heads were bowed in shame. He then said, "Today I see a gathering of people, not a church of Jesus Christ. The world has enough people, but not enough disciples. When will you decide to become a disciple?" And with that, he dismissed them from the service until the following week. I just wonder how many lives were affected by that reading that story. How many people will find the story worthy of not only understanding, but perhaps sharing with others in hopes that we can all see the Gordons that are out in the world and to see their faces, their eyes, and not just look down or away. Looking at their handmade signs that say, "God bless," and knowing perhaps they really are saying, "God bless, regardless of how you see me." As some are aware, I offer prayer in the chapel in the nave after service. I have people come in to share their faith and to ask for prayers, and they'll ask for prayers not only for their own needs, but for the needs of others. I would like you to know you're always welcome to come back to the chapel. In closing, I'd like to go back to our epistle, the first part, Peter. "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of any kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And may each and every one of us leave this temple here today, having been enriched in our faith, and know that God loves each and every one of his children. Amen."